numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge. Sorry about that last night, Baton Rouge. Kelly Bidlin, FSU graduate here with us. Sorry again, Baton Rouge.
Hi, sir.
It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. We talked about college football earlier. By the way, still to come this hour, Chris, Las Vegas Chris in studio, hanging out with us, going through some of his tweets on the run-up to the beginning of the professional football season. But college football had center stage this week, had it all to itself, which is the only time it really ever gets it all to itself. And we bring in Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Peter, wow. What can you say? We bet. I led the show by saying we bet on this stuff. My God.
That was about as good as a first weekend as you can possibly get. I mean, considering out of the 80-something games or a whole lot of duds that we got to kind of blow off, man, just back and forth. If you were into this sport at all, especially if you were wagering on the, if you do it on the fly, this was about as crazy a weekend as I can ever remember.
So what, I mean, you know, we talked about specific wacky games, right? Carolina against Appalachian State.
And since, I think they just scored again, by the way.
They scored again.
That was the 40 points in the fourth quarter and you lose. It's insane.
I don't know. I was saying earlier, has that ever happened before? Like, I mean, that's just incredible.
I don't think so. Nobody can find it.
Yeah.
No one has figured that out.
And we're talking about Appalachian State scoring 40 in the fourth quarter and still managing to lose. We did the blow-by-blow earlier, so I won't do it again. But I'm just, I would like from you, if you just sort of step back, what's your biggest takeaway from all of this past weekend? Can you make a few big takeaways?
Okay, on a bigger overall scale, the Power Five programs are rocking and rolling. The Old Dominion beat Virginia Tech. That's the one out of the 26 games between Power Five games and Group of Five, Power Five teams and Group of Five teams that won. East Carolina came close. They had North Carolina State on the ropes, missed those shots. Appalachian State obviously came really close against North Carolina, but 1-25. That's what they're. So, what does this necessarily mean? It means that the transfer portal has changed things up a bit, where the Power Five teams are filling in those gaps. They got a little more talent now, and the Group of Five teams are getting lesser talent at this point.
All right, let me just ask you some specifics. Michigan. Oh, hey, there you go. Pete's going. Sorry, where is he going?
Exactly,
my God.
Man.
Got up in the middle of a segment, for God's sake.
Exactly. Disastrous. Unprofessional of me. My alarm going off. Yeah.
So here's the thing. So listen, should we be concerned about Ohio State?
No, I mean, Notre Dame's got guys on scholarship, too. That's the number five team in the country. That's a good Notre Dame team, which probably should run the table. And I'm saying, I've made this call from the beginning, I'm sticking with it. That Notre Dame-USC game is probably going to be for a college football playoff spot, or at least have some big say in it. I mean, the Irish are good. I mean, they had a good game plan. They kept it conservative. They were able to play good defense on that Ohio State attack. They just didn't have enough punch. So I'm not concerned about Ohio State yet, but certainly it would be nice to make sure that Jackson Smith, the jig, and his hamstring's okay, and make sure that offense is humming again. But the key takeaway on that is the defense looked good, and that was the one real concern over last year, is that the defense wasn't anything great, and now it looks like they've stepped up a little bit.
So you say that, you know, as you say, the Notre Dame-USC thing could have a lot to say about a spot. And I'm not saying you're wrong. But as you say that, if I'm being honest, in my head, I'm just like, are you serious? That's like,
I'm a fanboy. Oh, I am calling on USC. I will tell you this. I am USC fanboy on this. I think this all-star team that they have put together is fun. I could be really wrong. They could get drop-kicked by an Arizona State or something, and I, you know, look silly here. The talent level there is right there with everybody else in the country. I mean, maybe they're not as skilled as the Ohio State guys are, but they're close. Maybe they don't have the lines of Alabama and Georgia, but they're not as far off. And that's where the transfer portal will help, not just with the starting 22. Their depth is insanely good. I know they only blew away Rice.
I was going to say, do we know that yet? I mean, you're saying we know that?
They were pretty sharp from the start. I mean, they had the one quarter, but they had the three pick sixes. The defense was all over. It just, you want to see that. You don't want to see any struggles. There was that team looked razor sharp from the start. So that's what you want to see. And they get to build. They have Stanford this week. They get Arizona State coming up. They should get through that. It's going to build and build and build. They have at Utah, UCLA down the road, and Notre Dame. they can win two of those three games and right be in the mix. They don't play Oregon. They don't play Washington. I am all in on the idea. I don't think they're going to win a national championship, but I'm all in on the idea that they're going to be in the mix here for something big at the end.
You're just not going to sell me on the Pac-12. Didn't the Pac-12 end up being a pretty big loser?
Exactly. That's part of it, though, is that they don't have to look at, like, Alabama. Everyone's putting them in the SEC and the national championship already. They still got to deal with Texas A&M and Arkansas and a Mississippi State team that's better. There's not a dud in the SEC West that they have to deal with. They have to play Tennessee, which looks like they're rocking and rolling. Again, and Alabama's good enough that they can roll through it. To your point, USC doesn't have that. The Pac-12, they should be able to rip through this thing. And again, they don't play the one other team in there other than Utah that could give them problems, which is Oregon.
Okay, so let's move ahead to, and I know we're not doing this past week justice. We did it a little earlier. Just, I mean, unbelievable. Again, it's one thing to bet on it, but from an entertainment standpoint, my goodness.
Was last night the dumbest game ever? I mean,
it was ridiculous.
And there was mistakes all over the place, coaching gaps here and there. Florida State did everything possible to give that away.
And if you had
LSU, you're like, you're going to hit this extra point. We're going to go overtime. I'm going to sneak out of this with my win here. And obviously that didn't work. But that, on every set, and from a betting standpoint, there are all sorts of ebbs and flows all weekend long on this one.
Well, let me, because we brought this up earlier. Again, this was, you know, one of these, another muffed punt, right? The second muffed punt gives FSU the ball first and goal, and they're already up a touchdown. You're like, well, this is over. Three plays later, a pitch out, a fumble. LSU gets it back. Less than 2 minutes left. It's like a 1 minute, 25 seconds left in the game, an 11-play drive. I mean, it's like, what are we watching, right? And so they get it in. Were you surprised that Brian Kelly immediately throws up a finger to go for one at that point?
I thought it'd be two. I'm the don't go for two guy unless you absolutely have to. But when you're rolling like that, and especially as we saw this in, say, the Houston-UTSA game, we have to remember that right out of the gate, if you don't get that first overtime, you go to two-point conversions. So you're going to have to do two-point conversion anyway if you're going to kick the extra point and go to OT. If you've got Jaden Daniels who's rolling right there, you've got all the momentum in the world, and you're giving me one shot to win the game right there, you do it. And obviously they messed that up. That was a colossal whiff by Brian Kelly to not go for two on that.
But that just shows you where being a human being comes back to haunt you, right? Because he's thinking to himself, well, if this doesn't work, I'm going to get skewered. You know, it was just
a miss. I think he's getting. But to the overall point, you kind of asked this before. One of the bigger keys to remember that the other takeaway from this weekend is look at what Jaden Daniels did. If he stays at Arizona State, he's probably the second team All Pac-12 preseason quarterback behind Caleb Williams of USC, and now he's the LSU starting quarterback. He's a great quarterback.
I loved him at ASU. Loved him there.
LSU was doing pretty much nothing all game long, but when the game on the line, bam, bam, bam. He knows what he was doing. Look, for example, at the Penn State game. Sean Clifford was bam, bam, bam at the end of that game against Purdue. Indiana were able to drive down the field at the very end when they had the Connor Bazelak, the transfer from Missouri. So one of the other takeaways here is the overall quarterback play has been upped. Because the transfer portal's got all these guys who weren't able to be the one at certain places. So now you got all these teams who have ready-made quarterbacks who know what they're doing. So it almost is like the NFL, where the two-minute drill, they're not melting down like they usually would if you have just any other kind of quarterback.
You brought up Houston. Houston squeaks by UTSA, and they do so in overtimes. And they win by two, by the way. That's another thing with spreads in college football. When they go to the two-point, you're screwed if you're laying more than that. But Houston, who you said this offseason, they could be the group of five Cincinnati of this year. They squeak by there. Now they got Texas Tech. They're a dog moving forward to this weekend. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, Texas Tech. I mean, the problem that Tyler Shug, their high octane quarterback, got hurt with a shoulder injury. But the Western Kentucky offense of last year that they're bringing over to Texas Tech, remember when Bailey Zappe was winging it all over the yard for a gajillion yards? Well, now it's Donovan Smith who's taking that over. Houston can win this game, but to your overall point, if it's not Houston, who is it out of the group of five? Because one of them is going to have to go to the New Year's Six. We're not going to have a Cincinnati thing of last year where some team gets through this and goes to the college football playoff. Cincinnati loses to Arkansas this weekend. Boise State and the whole Mountain West got trucked so far. So there's nothing big there. I mean, maybe UCF, there's just not that powerful group of five program this year that we've had in the past years. It's like going to be a thing this year. We're not going to have that should, you know, a group of five team get in the college football playoff this year argument this season.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of time to ask you about Alabama, Texas, if that could possibly be a thing this coming weekend. Obviously, Florida, Kentucky is always interesting. Will Michigan beat Hawaii by 75 points?
That's obviously crazy. What's the line now? It started at 50, I think it opened
with? It's north of 50 now. Yes, north of 50. So that's fun. But I got to ask you about tonight's game before anything else. Georgia Tech tonight and the spread on this game here. So Georgia Tech right now is they're a 22.5-point dog, 21.5-point dog, hosting Clemson. Any thoughts here? Are you taking the points?
Clemson. Yeah, no. Clemson. And I hate going to past performances, but past Monday, Labor Day night games have usually been awful. I think Clemson makes a statement. That defense is going to be what to watch. They're going to keep Georgia Tech from doing much of anything. The offense can put up 25 points, and the defense can come up with a shutout. I like Clemson in this. This is where they make their statement that they are right up there with Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and yeah, I'm going to throw USC in a little back pile because just I'm all over them this year.
All right, we're showing 23.5, by the way, tonight's game, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Fine, go for it. Georgia Tech might not score.
All right, last thing as we go to break because we got to the music has come wipe us off here, but Alabama is without question your number one team in the country, or is Georgia still up there with
them? Georgia's got to be there. Stetson Bennett's going to play like that. All of a sudden, he's not a game manager. He's a playmaker. It's Alabama, Georgia right now. Ohio State a little slip below, and then I think Clemson's going to be right there with Ohio State.
Stetson Bennett might be better than we all think, huh? Might be
he
the
is,
case.
Apparently. Yeah. He was a playmaker. He was good.
We'll come back with the NFL next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you, Pete.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets! At Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Scotty B726, I called in sick to watch Guessing Lines. I'm so sorry, Scotty B. It's week one. We don't do Guessing Lines week one.
Oh,
we already knew what the lines were.
I say if it didn't have primetime action all over it, I'd say fire a loser video. That's a mistake, man.
Man, I'm sorry.
The line's been out for 6 months.
Scotty B, I'm flattered, but we start Guessing Lines next week. Megapod this week. Then, of course, Guessing Lines on Monday. Oh, by the way, here are our Twitter handles in case we never say them. I'm at Beating the Book. I think we say that a lot. But Kelly's at Kelly Bidlin. Kelly used to not have Kelly Bidlin, and Kelly Bidlin was available, and we were like, Kelly, why don't you take Kelly Bidlin? He was like, I don't want Kelly Bidlin. Then he finally took Kelly Bidlin.
It wasn't available when I first tried it 10 years ago or whatever.
I told you I'm in an international silent battle with a woman named Jillian Alexander in England. She has Gil Alexander, like every social media thing. I'm like,
I'll pay you $117.
She's like, I don't know who you are. Let's see here. This is from Las Vegas 514. We were talking about Sam Howell earlier. Yo, give the kid the keys to the car. Let's see what we get. Hopefully he's our future. It's a Commanders fan right there. I know Las Vegas. I'm with you, man. This is from doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doo. This is from, this is a good one right here. There's a lot of these with asking for the tennis picks. We'll get to that momentarily once again. Oh, JC, talking about our Survivor segment that we did. He goes, thank you. You just flipped my whole outlook on division games for my loser pool. Hashtag cashing tickets is what it's all about. What he's referring to is you will hear a lot of people who play Survivor say, I don't play. I don't play road teams. Okay. I get that. But a lot of people also say, I don't play division games. And again, we raced through it, so let me repeat that. It's a myth that you should avoid division games, at least by actual, history. This is based on the belief, by the way, people are like, I don't want to play division games, that upsets are more likely when two division rivals get together. But that doesn't bear out in the facts. It's just not factual. It's not actual or factual, to quote the great TLC, Kelly. Even though that may sound good, the evidence doesn't support it. Again, since 2002, among teams favored by 5 or more points, division favorites have actually won a higher percentage than non-division favorites. Now, getting back to the road favorites thing beyond division, road favorites actually do lose more than home favorites, so I get your trepidation there. Road favorites are always shaky in the National Football League.
So don't go chasing waterfalls is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I just had to work on it.
Ladies and gentlemen. That's all
I got.
Kelly Bidlin.
That's all I got.
Just completely gave up his entire TLC knowledge right there. One sentence. All right, U.S. Open, because there are a lot of people wondering about the tennis picks again, and Chris and I may even get to this with one of his tweets later, but people want to know the tennis picks. I give them out, you know, I make them overnight. I make them last yesterday evening, and so sometimes these lines move. We come on the show, and we say, hey, look, this has gone against us. This has gone with us. Today it just happened that the three, at least when we got here this morning, I haven't checked them here. Kelly, you can tell me if I'm wrong. The three of them sort of went, you know, in our direction. And so you can't get exactly the prices that I got them at, but I do set up the parameters for you. Pliskova Azarenka over, coming off our two over winners this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. I'm on the Pliskova Azarenka over 21 and a half games. It's 22. You can still play it at 22. The juice is starting to creep up on the over 22 at minus 120. Don't go higher than that. Please do not go higher than that.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing there.
But can you play it at 22? Sure. Now, Jesse Pegula, I got at minus 122. I saw minus 130 when we got on the air. You can still play that, but don't let it get any higher than minus 135 at the most. You're really teetering on the edge, but you can still play it where it is now. But again, just know that there's parameters here. And then the Danielle freaking Collins, which I got at plus 122. As long as she's in plus money, you can play it, but it's kind of teetering.
Yeah, plus 105 right now. Yeah, like DraftKings.
Like that's the edge of that, too. So again, just know that, and by the way, you know that when we come on the show, sometimes they go against us. And this just in, CLV, having plus CLV this year, hasn't really helped us, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, you can cash it in the store on your way out.
That's right.
Right.
Hey, I got 20 cents of CLV and we lost. Can I get that bagel? You cannot. All right, so here are the, so again, the big thing that happened to us in terms of our bets, if you were with us, Drew Dinsick and I did the U.S. Open podcast, preview pod. And by the way, Kelly, I don't know if you know this, but our tennis numbers on these podcasts are just ridiculous. Absolutely
ridiculous.
Just the
listener numbers?
The downloads on these tennis. That's incredible.
Great.
And we just feel so proud about it that people are into it. And so to that end, one of the things I gave out on that was I gave out Ludmila Samsonova to win that quarter at 8-1, the Q4, the Serena quarter. She squandered 8 set points yesterday. I have never been so sick. Honestly, because that would have been a haul. And of course, then she collapses to Ila Temjanovic, who advances to the quarterfinals. So our girl Samsonova does not. So the sexy long shot plays we have are all not sexy anymore. They're all done. Samsonova, Xinwen Zhang lost this weekend as well. And then, of course, earlier, Haddad Maia. So we are left with what are currently, pardon me, the two short shots in both the ladies and the men's side. Hey, nothing wrong with that if they both get home, because those are the only ones we have left. Iga Świątek is the short shot on the ladies' side. And now Nick Kyrgios is the short shot on the men's side. We are there. We got him at 30-1.
I looked it up this morning. I was like, you know what? I'm taking a piece of Kyrgios. I don't care. Like, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to hop on. And then I saw the number, and I'm like, I'm never mind. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was going to be a little longer than this still.
So, again, full disclosure, I got him at 12-1. I recommended him on air at 12-1. That was a full bet they took. The 30-1 was a stray number over at the win. Right after I gave him out a 12-1, I couldn't believe there was still a 30-1 in town. They limited it severely. The actual exchange was, hey, can I get two dimes on this? I'm sorry, no, you can't. You can get a nickel. Okay, I'll take your nickel. By the way, what did you move it to? Do you know what they moved it to after the 31? 7-1. Like, come on, man. Anyway, so that was all I got on that. But anyway, it was 12-1 and 31. So Nick Kyrgios is now the short shot at plus 210. Here we are in the quarterfinals of this. Well, actually, it's the second leg of the round of 16 today. Quarterfinals begins tomorrow, to be exact. That's why you're seeing more than 8 names on your screen. So Kyrgios should be the short shot because, I mean, who's going to beat Nick Kyrgios but Nick Kyrgios? And Nick Kyrgios is very capable of beating Nick Kyrgios. Trust me. He almost beat himself yesterday. Again, he just whacks the ball an inch and a half away from hitting a fan in the face.
Yeah, he could have been done. A couple times,
done.
Right? Yeah. If it's one of those, if it's not one of those three guys at the top, who is it?
That's a great question. If it's not Kyrgios at plus 210, Rafa looking for his 23rd men's singles slam title, which is just insane. He's plus 225. And then Carlitos, Call me Charlie, call me Carlitos, don't call me Carlos Alcaraz, plus 350. If it's not one of those three guys, because I think Alcaraz had a favorable draw too, as we talked about on that podcast, and Rafa had the most favorable of them all. Kyrgios is the one who has fought through the mess. I'm gonna go with Casper Ruud as the answer to that question.
Okay. I mean, all those guys, I mean, yes, you would think it's a very, very large percentage that the winner comes from one of those three, but like they all have their faults, right? I mean, you could make the argument. I mean, Kyrgios could blow up at any moment. We all know that.
Yep.
Nadal, obviously.
No confidence. I mean, right. You have the short shot and he's got the most talent of everyone. Are you confident? Not in the least bit.
Yeah. I mean, Nadal dealing with some of the injury stuff that he's dealt with, age, like that could catch up to him quicker than we think here.
Carlitos has never won it before.
Alcaraz, the inexperience, absolutely. Yep. So, like, you could make a case for each one of these guys of why you don't think they get it done.
Yeah,
I don't know that you're recommending anybody run out and bet anybody else, but
I'm not.
Could be an exciting finish, though.
But you asked the right question. If it's not one of those three, who would it be? And for me, that would be Casper Ruud because Berrettini just seems shaky enough. Where the Ruud plays Berrettini here in the quarters tomorrow. That's the match of the day tomorrow. And so, yeah, I mean, the winner of that will be well positioned. As well positioned as they can be with those other three guys at the top. On the ladies' side, listen, Iga's kind of done this quietly so far. She's just moseying along in her little draw. She's 2-1. She ought to be 2-1. But same question. Are there others here? Like, I mean, the women's side is just, there are some really solid players. Again, the plays today, I have Jessie Pegula advancing. I have Danielle freaking Collins advancing into the quarters. But the players with the best numbers were Samsonova. Samsonova was at the top, and she has been bounced. Can Tomjanovic, who seems to have 9 lives, can she get there? I don't think she can. I don't think this is on Jabeur's surface to get it done. The Coco Gauff-Caroline Garcia match, the winner of that is justifiably the biggest threat to Iga. And that is tomorrow. Caroline Garcia, who's 4-1 to win this, and Coco, who I recommended before the tournament, actually, when I was on primetime with you guys at the very end, I said Coco at 12-1 did represent value. Coco at 5-1 probably represents the best value, best in quotes, value on the board.
Yeah, odds for that match tomorrow morning: Garcia -125, Coco +105.
Yeah, we'll see if there's a play on Coco tomorrow. I'm not sure because Caroline Garcia has had a spectacular summer as well. I haven't dived into those numbers quite yet, but that's the match of the day tomorrow. Las Vegas Chris on the other side. We'll go through all his tweets, final thoughts before the NFL season. He's got a lot on his mind. Good stuff. Just on the other side, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN. Now it's time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get our comprehensive college and pro guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up early, and for a discounted $175, you'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, is here as well. So much more than a producer, though. Kelly, the one other thing that happened, there's so many other things that happen in sports, but the LIV Golf Tour finally had itself a dramatic ending as DJ eagles out a 40-footer.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the upshot that, like, golf, I this is why I kept beating the horse of, you know, people can kill LIV for as much as they want and kill Greg Norman and kill all the nonsense reasons most of these guys gave for going over there when the answer is just what Harold Varner said. It's money. It's generational wealth.
Oh, it was so refreshing just to hear him say that.
It was. But my point that I kept bringing up was, hasn't the LIV sort of made their point, LIV Tour, in the fact that the PGA had to, like, up all their purses, reschedule? Like, they kind of made their point. And now you have two lesser golf tours, right? You have one that's not on TV and one that is diminished. And, I mean,
they're going to – I mean, look, the PGA Tour had to act tough at the beginning. They had to act like the big tough guy that, you know, you're not going to take anything from us. At a certain point, these two sides are going to have to come to the table. I mean,
got to.
I mean, for the PGA Tour, have to. For LIV, I mean, we'll see how things develop here, but if you're sitting here 9 months, a year from now, you still don't have a TV deal and your players aren't getting any world golf ranking points, you got to come to the table, too, with the PGA Tour and get this worked out. I don't know. It's getting silly. I understand where both these sides are coming from, but there's no – you're ruining the sport right now. You're dividing the sport. You're ruining it. It's impossible to bet on right now.
It's impossible. Well, that was what I was going to ask. Is it affecting your betting?
Absolutely. I mean, with so much of, you know, the golf betting that Matt Brown and I do, it's all model-based, statistical-based, which we get great stats from the PGA Tour. It's easy for us to feed in into models. We're not getting any of that from Liv. So this was the first event I even considered betting just because it had a wave of such new players that I had been tracking and betting on, you know, in the past couple months. So Joaquin Neiman was a guy I actually looked at betting this week. I mean, he was in the mix all the way to the end. But you know, this event became this event this weekend I went to watch on YouTube because the leaderboard. I mean,
right.
It's Dustin Johnson, Lahiri, Joaquin Neiman, Lee Westwood, Cameron Smith, all at the top. Like that's quality names at the top of a golf leaderboard.
And then majors could become problematic for you in terms of your numbers too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because you will have guys like DJ and Cameron Smith that are exempt and qualified for years to come in majors that I will not be able to see what they've done statistically for the whole season.
Not good. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman next to me has won five major contests and finished second and fifth in Circa on top of all that. 7 major cashes in the last 11 years. And by the way, those are just his contest numbers. Betting-wise, over the last 4 years, he's over 58% on 544 bets. 58% on the bets alone. Oh, by the way, 5 winning NFL betting seasons in a row, plus 217% profit. Boy, oh boy, my goodness. Circa Friday Football Invitational invitee. That's a new thing where 16 handicappers are competing over at Circa. And in addition to his YouTube, he opened a Discord channel last night that brought over 100 in on a dead Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Las Vegas. Chris, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm all scared and I'm screwing everything up this morning, but I made it here on time.
You're great. How was that for an intro? That was the best intro we've ever done for you.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. I feel humbled by it, actually.
Okay.
Takes a little bit of luck.
I got to give you your street cred. That's all I'm doing. For people who are just landing, they want to know, who is this guy?
Well, the street Discord cred. Channel. Yo, where's your Discord channel at? He's Chris way in front, way ahead of me on that.
I was surprised by it. I just plopped it out there. I figured a handful of people would join and a lot more. It was a dead Sunday night.
100 is 20 hands. Very nice.
Oh, man.
All right. That went well. What do you plan on doing with that? What's your main goal, you think?
I've got no goal. I just
want to hang out and talk.
Basically, I've got some smart guys in there already and happy with a small, tight-knit community that just want to learn. And, you know, I made it clear this isn't – you're not going to be chasing picks here. It's about process, asking questions, learning stuff. And there's people in the channel that can do that.
Speaking of that, before we get to your tweets, which we want to get to, right now, here we are, 3 days away from the beginning of the NFL season. 2 days away from contests beginning, if you will, with lines being issued, say for millions. Where's your head? Do you have, when I say, okay, do you have preconceived notions of teams? Clearly you have some, you've done work, but like, when do you put a cap to that? Like, do you fight against those preconceptions?
I think this season above all other seasons has the highest percentage of teams they can go either direction that I've ever seen. I can make a case for and against almost every single team. Well, I mean, I can for every team, but I believe
more that, volatility to that.
Yeah,
this year.
I think there's a lot of volatility possible this year.
Let's go to the tweets. What better way than to get into the mind of Las Vegas Chris than by going through his tweets? He has a whole bunch of them. And by the way, one of them that you just mentioned is we're going to get to also because that touches on what you just said. But first of all, you said your NFL 2021 autopsy is almost over. You had a few charts to share. You were looking forward to the season after a mediocre, you admit. It was a mediocre 2021. But you were just doing all your stuff, and we actually you actually threw them up on Twitter because they were beautiful charts. But you show your closing line value, that big blue thing, that big Pac-Man thing on the left, is when you were plus CLV, and the negative CLV is that yellow part, correct? And then you break that down, even though you had the negative CLV, what you won, what you lost kind of thing. 7 years, 675 bets.
Yeah, so, the blue is either the same or positive CLV.
Okay,
I don't
same
want
or
that
positive.
Confused. So 13% of the time, a better number shows up afterward, which I think is pretty good.
This is your real, of all the skills you have, this is your A number one skill, isn't it?
The market reading is just vital. It's crucial. I hate to sound like a broken record, but you have to be doing market reading. You have to know where the market's going or why the market moved afterward.
And these are your winning streaks and your losing streaks of what? Of like three or more or two or more, four or more or something like that?
Four or more, yeah. I think, primarily.
So a lot more green than red there. These are through the years from 2015 through 2021. By the way, back to the market reading. If people are on your Discord, if they watch you on YouTube, if they watch you on your appearances here on a numbers game, if they watch you enough and they listen to you enough, will they glean market reading expertise, or are you really nitty? Are you really close to the vest on that?
Oh, I think I just basically would state I think the market's going to do this, or I'm in a holding pattern, so to speak.
Okay, you won't necessarily share why though.
Well, you don't know why until I mean, why I'm in a holding pattern?
No. But you must have an instinct as to why you're doing what you're doing, right? To have 87% same or better. You must have instincts for where it's going to go, yes?
Well, I don't have to do anything. I've scolded a handful of younger cappers for releasing plays too early. I go,
too early, yeah.
Why would you release this play?
Okay, so there
because
is.
Because if a game is painted a number and you're watching the screen, you should be able to, you know, get your number even on a trailing shop. So
that's what I'm trying to get at. Okay. So then here's your whole record again. 437, 330, and 23 ATS. A 246.5% bankroll increase through the years. Again, all these charts available. Let's get to, okay, so this is your, so we've established you're pretty good at this.
Well, I chart the streaks because I got some grief on why do you bother charting streaks. Well, I want to know if something changes. I mean, it's been so consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know anytime the model seems to be having some difficulty or something unusual is happening. So that's why I chart the streaks.
These are all at Las Vegas Chris without the H. Call me crazy.
Oh, I misspelled that.
That's right. Even though the week one lines have been out forever, I don't believe the lines are efficient and in place. I think there can be lots of moves yet to come. Opinion, not expertise. Not expertise that I can assure happens. Watching. So as long as these week one lines have been out all summer long, you still think here in the next, well, in terms of the Sunday games, the next 6 days, we're going to see massive movements.
Yeah, I heard somebody state that they thought that we had the whole summer, they're banged into place and don't expect much movement. And I go, are you high? Of course there's going to be a lot of movement this week. I may be wrong, but I think a lot of the games are going to move.
Is that what happens every single year?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You haven't tracked that?
No. How much do you want me to track? Jeez.
All right, just asking. You seem to be tracking everything else. I figured maybe you're
I'm behind,
I don't know. I'm just spouting off at the mouth. I'm just saying things. All right, well, that's interesting. We have a whole bunch more of these to get to. Again, just ruminations from Las Vegas, Chris. Pronounce your last name for everybody, Chris.
Zanuck.
Chris Zanuck, Las Vegas Chris, or the LVC as he likes to be called. He's spitballing if people will start calling him the LVC. You think that'll catch on?
Well, the Las Vegas Chris thing sounds kind of corny, but that's the default Twitter handle 11 years ago.
Snoop D-O-double-G and the LVC. LVC, I know it's LVC. I'm just thinking. Okay. Las Vegas Chris on the other side. More of his tweets. We've got a whole bunch of them to get to next on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Kelly, I was in Toronto this weekend, little known fact.
No way.
With Deborah Song, fashion stylist, and the great Gracie, the most wonderful human on earth.
How was the concert?
I'm a K-pop dad at this point. It's phenomenal.
Hey, you are so much more hip than I am.
I'm a K-pop dad. I don't know if it's hip. I'm just a K-pop dad.
So let me get this straight. You went to go see a band called Seventeen, and they had 13 members?
That is correct.
Cool.
Math works out.
Just wanted to
The reason I bring it up is because we went outside of Drake's house. In Toronto, the bridal path area of Toronto. We drove by Drake's house.
Is that like a thing?
No. We just were like, let's go by
like
Drake's house.
When you go to Toronto, everybody's like, oh, we must pass by Drake's house.
It is the size of a British palace.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
I've never seen anything like this in my life. He lives like a king.
Oh, I'm going to Google this now.
He's the king of Toronto.
You're talking to Chris. That makes me so happy. It's incredible. Deserves a castle in Canada.
He does.
Where's Bieber's castle?
Square root of 69 is a sign. All right, so now here's the thing. Las Vegas Chris with us once again. We'll go through his tweets. Let's go through more. You ready? You ready to do this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, before we do that, Steve Fezzik, two-time Hilton Super Contest champion, who we played tennis with the other day. He was very kind to invite us to his neighborhood. Beautiful neighborhood. Steve said, I would bet there will be far less movement this week in NFL lines than any other week all year. Books have had months to set adjust these lines. Next week, they will have had 24 hours to do so, and there will be so much real new data to decipher Sunday. Well, I think he's right about that, but that's not what you were saying. You were just saying that you think these...
They're not set in... I see at least 9 games that'll move at least a half a point.
Right.
I think that they will.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah. I think he's right about moving forward, but that's not what you were getting at. Okay. This is Las Vegas Chris on his website, on his Twitter, pardon me, at Las Vegas Chris without the H. You must go into accounts and check to see if they have changed odds. Every year, books make adjustments quietly. Odds like this are absurd, but if you're nice with an agent or book, you can get idiocy like this corrected to reasonable prices. You don't want surprises in season. Can you explain? What was this about?
Well, the books will... subtly change teaser odds or parlay odds policies.
Gotcha.
And you want to just kind of review that stuff, the stuff that you like to bet, and make sure that none of that has changed for you. Because there's every single year, there's a shop that's changing something.
Yeah. And the more, again, for new bettors, the more, the higher that the prices for, say, teasers go up, the higher your break-even prices becomes incrementally over time.
Yeah, I've seen some asinine teaser prices. You didn't show the photo on there, but you just can't be paying more than 120. I mean, that's got to be the ceiling.
For the six team, for the six-pointers.
For six-point NFL teasers.
This is in response to Bet It Up 5 and Fezzik Sports. He says, I've never seen, what you were talking about earlier, you said, I've never seen such a high percentage of teams that have potential win-loss variants like this. Probably 75% plus will not surprise me in the least to have two wins either way from the win total, and that a lot, your English here, and there a lot that won't, and there's a lot, is what you're saying.
Jeez, I gotta stop drunk tweeting.
That won't surprise me with 3+ off the number either direction. Well, this sort of lends into what Kelly and I were talking about with alt season win totals. We love those. Steve was given a cautionary note and a correct one about how there's not a lot of places to shop those around.
You gotta watch the pricing on it. Steve's right. You might see. You just may be paying too much on those alt totals. You've got to really shop those also.
Well, the plus ones is what we were driving at with that. But I think this is a great point about the fact that you look at any final NFL standings and compare them to what the preseason win totals are. It's littered with teams that are way off from what they were.
Absolutely. I mean, all this summer work is going to go to waste, and we've got to see how they play. And it's just important not to... overreact the first couple of weeks.
Okay, now this one, I actually mentioned this earlier when I was giving out tennis plays, because I gave out 3 tennis plays, and then the CLV has kind of gone in our favor. But you said, you heard Fez, Fez getting a lot of juice here on this segment, mentioned not to discuss bets on the media that are no longer available. Time is the most valuable commodity. Don't waste time with long intros, patting everyone on the back, personal nonsense, long sales spiels, and ADD. Don't discuss bets that are unavailable. Was this referring to podcasts that you listened to? What was this referring to?
Well, any sort of media. I mean, why are people wasting their time you know, discussing bets that are no longer available.
Well, I'll tell you in my case.
And you're a little bit guilty sometimes.
Well, this morning, right? Yeah. So I said this morning, I said, hey, this is going to come up with Las Vegas Chris later. I said, we got three bets here today. They're all, I made them last night. But people always, they ask, what were your bets? And here are my bets. This is what I made. And at the price that they are, can you still play them or not? And I'll tell you yes or no. I don't think that's a waste of time if you couch it that way.
There's just so many people guilty of wasting time talking about what they bet at, you know, numbers that are no longer available. I think it's discourteous. I mean, as I mentioned, there's nothing more important than time. Don't waste people's time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think it was a waste of time this morning. I'm going to disagree with you on that. All right, here's one. This is the real deal. Habits and routine. Oh, I like this. Habits and routine are critical in betting, in my opinion. Of course, there's unpredictability daily, but nothing beats the comfort of good routine. Vacations are a horrid distraction of unknown disruptions. Tech, family, friends, unfamiliar home base, etc. We talked about this earlier. Football season, like the notion that people go away, right? Like my brother was like, hey, you know, our mom is by herself. She's like, hey, do you think like in the middle of October you could go like, hey? I'm like, no.
No.
I love my mom, but no. It's football season. No. I mean, you're right. There's a routine to this.
I cannot tell you the volume of people that just wind up miserable on vacations because you have all these distractions because people are waiting. Oh, hey, we want to go to lunch or your technology doesn't work. I have all kinds of problems every time I leave the house. And if you're in a contest groove or a betting groove, you can bet your bottom dollar that if for some reason or another it gets disrupted, in my opinion.
Let's do a couple more of these. These are great. Because all very, very timely as we head into football season. Okay, Chris, have to be willing to pivot, but after game one, it's too early. You don't know if teams that upset or were upset or anything like that result in the long run. So I was trying to get this earlier when I was talking about Survivor. None of us knows anything, right? We don't know week one, and then overreaction week is week two. We still don't know. And it was like you were saying earlier, week three, week four, then we kind of get it. We're starting to get it.
Yeah, it's... A lot of goofy things happened in NCAA this weekend.
Goofy.
You just don't know. It's one game. You know, people get off to a slow start sometimes, and the bad teams come, you know, highly motivated week one. You know, everybody's, you know, thinks they have a chance at this point.
Love this one. I saw another week. This is from Las Vegas, Chris. I saw another weekend of cappers touting win-loss to bamboozle buyers. Win-loss has to be combined with ROI, simple betting 101. I'm 49% last 365. I must suck then, right? Nope. Plus 113%. People without ROI and Moneyline Sports are hiding huge Moneyline losers. I would even add Kelly, because Kelly and I were talking about this off air. People who want to make you look bad, who don't put in your pluses and your minuses and just give you a win-loss. Yeah, they're ridiculous too. They're all frauds.
It's just so disingenuous.
Because completely disingenuous. People,
you know,
with agendas. Right?
You know you're supposed to be giving ROI in Moneyline Sports.
Yes.
So you're intentionally omitting it.
Yes.
And the only reason you would be doing that is if you're hiding a bunch of minus 200s, 225s, 250s,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. And that works. And as I said, that works both ways. And if you're trying to make someone else look bad and you're not adding the pluses and the minuses and you're leaving out certain play. Yeah, it's this is why sports betting, right? This is why it will always be filled with the disingenuous characters.
Win loss would be my third question. If I'm sitting there trying to follow somebody, win loss is my third question.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. All right, Chris, LMAO, laugh my off. I lose tonight because reliever hits. Oh, this is old baseball, tried and true right here. I lose tonight because reliever hits his two batters to force runner home. I've never seen so many ways to lose this MLB season. I'm laughing at this nonsense, not pissing and moaning. Whiners should be kicked off Twitter. Listen, this is everybody who's ever bet baseball. This happens every way possible. You can lose any way that you can invent.
I cannot begin to tell you the negative variance I've faced in MLB this year. Boy, I wish I was a pisser and a moaner so I could take to Twitter.
Okay, there's more of these. We run out of time. We got to give our pro tip of the hour here at VSiN. And the pro tip of the hour has to do with Survivor. Once again, don't be afraid of playing division games. People will tell you, oh, I don't want to play division games. There's no factual basis to it. Again, since the year 2002, among teams favored by 5 or more points, division favorites have actually won a higher percentage than non-division favorites. Road favorites in general, different story. They do lose more than home favorites. But division, there's just nothing to that. And that was your pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Thank you, Chris. Wish we had more time.
I already saw a complaint that they thought I was complaining about today, just sometimes with you on the
Lombardi line is next. Enjoy.